welcome back. This is your host, Curdzy B. As many of you may already know by now, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I began learning tarot when I was still in grade school, and since then, I've turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Curdzy B, as well as various tarot products and events. So we're almost in Pisces season, which is starting this coming Thursday, the 19th, and about to start Mercury's retrograde period, less fun, which begins officially on Tuesday, the 18th. But we're in that like kind of sticky Merc shadow period right now that began in early February. So if you've been experiencing any delays or odd glitches, Mercury's about to go retro, but we're kind of in that transition right now. And that's going to be retrograde, like I said, from Thursday the 19th all the way up through March 9th. And I know that Merc retro is not many people's favorite period, but on the upside, we won't have another until mid-June, and we only have 3 Mercury retrograde periods this year. Some years we have 4. So it's, you know, it's a lighter year. We're not going to have to deal with this again for June, but definitely be cognizant of that. Be mindful. It may cause communication delays and errors. Not the best time to purchase technology. But you know, it happens. And like I said, less than some years on the bright side. I've been trying to snag some time with this week's guest for quite some time now, so I'm glad that we got her in the nick of time before Merc Retro caused any issues with that. I'm so excited for this interview, but before I bring her on, let's go back and take a look at our cards for the month of February. We're still in that yummy Aquarius-ruled energy of the Star card, and like Aquarians, the Star is highly intuitive and one of the most psychic cards in the deck. It's also the card that emphasizes the importance of trusting the universe and its plan for divine timing. The Star reminds us of the importance of patience as well as intuition, especially when it comes to areas of passion and whether that's work or love, just kind of finding the balance of listening to your intuition and having the patience for the universe to kind of let things play out in divine timing. The Star's air energy and ruler Aquarius also reminds us that when we trust the universe and remain unattached to the outcomes, that's when the good stuff really starts to flow in, and it feels almost effortless when we kind of allow that to come to us. For our second card of the month, which we pulled from that January 1st overview of 2020, we have King of Pentacles. And you all know I love King of Pentacles. It's a really badass, easeful, abundant court card. So this card, which has the elements of fire due to the kings being ruled by fire and earth energy relating to the pentacles, the suit of the card, seem to offer some of the rewards that those tests we may have gone through and that work that we did in Saturn Capricorn season last month is now allowing us to kind of reap the benefits and receive a la the King of Pentacles. This card also helps to bring in material rewards and abundance with ease and flow as a result of kind of working with the trust and intuition of the Star card. Now let's look at our card of the week. Queen of Swords. I feel like we've had a lot of swords in our weekly cards this month, and I guess that makes sense because, you know, we're in Aquarius season, which is an air sign, and swords are associated with the element of air, so, and it's fast moving, it's fluid, it's very Aquarian. Anyway, Queen of Swords in the OG Smith Rider Waite deck, this queen is shown sitting on her throne very stoically, looking very serious. She has her sword raised up towards the sky, representing she definitely stands for truth and for clarity. This queen is said to be the embodiment of an older, wiser female. She's highly disciplined and intelligent, and as a result, historically was said to be the most masculine of all the queens, that this queen has both masculine and feminine, which, I mean, a lot, humans, all of us have masculine and feminine, but this queen kind of has a very present masculine energy in her. And this can come off as stern or emotionless, but really this is just because she represents the importance of making judgments without relying solely on emotion. She's kind of balancing that emotion and the clarity of logic. Very similar to Justice, which is funny because we just had Justice. And this is, I always, when I get this in a reading with Justice, I'm like, okay, well, this is Justice's younger sister, right? So it's very similar vibe. Queens are ruled by the element of water. So again, there is that intuition up in the mix, but this is communicated by the queen with that air energy of the sword. So it's much more direct and free of emotion in terms of the message actually being delivered. Like there may be emotion, intuition in the process, the decision making, it's equally balanced in there, but the delivery is very matter of fact. In the Badass Bitches Tarot, this is the one and only Judge Judy. Because just like Judge Judy, this queen does not mince words, but she can always be counted on to speak with clarity and decisiveness. This card is, it's the perfect follow-up to last week's weekly poll, Justice, because it's suggesting that we're still needing to put those clear boundaries in place, which we kind of went through last week with the Justice card. And in true Queen of Swords fashion, she's reminding us to own our yes and own our no. It's not a time for vagueness or maybes or, you know, leaving things hanging that feel uncomfortable. This is a, like, just speak your truth. This is something that I have been consciously working on for a while now, because historically I would always compromise my needs if people who I cared about needed something from me, even if it was at my own cost. And I feel like I have a healthier balance with work and clients, but I can still struggle with personal relationships. And as I always tell my clients, if you can master a lesson in one area of your life, you can apply it to others. So previously I would just give and give and give on a lot of friendships and romantic relationships until I became so drained that resentment would build to a point that the relationship became damaged beyond repair and I just couldn't continue. I think I had this fear that if I spoke my truth or expressed my needs, that people wouldn't want to spend time with me or they wouldn't like me as much. But the irony was that this pushed me to the point of not being able to tolerate spending time in these relationships from my perspective and feeling so depleted. So this week, the universe served me a really beautiful gift delivered by one of my very close friends. So I love this woman, and she is an incredible, generous, kind, supportive, inspiring soul. And that being said, some of our lessons come through people that we love the most, so it's almost like even more challenging, right? So one night last week, I was really tired from finishing several readings throughout the day and still needed to finish some writing. And she had asked me to, if I wanted to go grab some Kin herbal tonic drinks, these like lovely mocktails that we love, and go see a movie that we both really wanted to see. And I said, you know, that sounds incredible, like such an amazing night. Can we maybe do that later in the week? Because right now I'm pretty exhausted and I actually still have some work to do. And she was like, yeah, sure, sounds great. About an hour later, she texted, well, do you mind if I come over there and hang out? Because I've had a day, even if it's just for a little bit. And I had that sinking feeling in my stomach, like, that's not going to be good for me. But I don't want her to think that I don't care about her or that I'm a bad friend because I really love her. But I also don't ever want to start resenting this friendship. So I channeled that Judge Judy vibe and said, I'm sorry, but it's like I said, I'm just really tired and I have some work that I have to finish and I want to call it an early night. And so a little while later, she sent me like a cute, funny astrology meme because we're always like sending things to each other like that. And I responded and I was like, you know, haha, whatever. And then she said, would you mind if I FaceTime you in 20 minutes? And I'm not going to lie. At first, I was like, seriously? Because I was like, dude, I said tonight is not a good night twice already. But then I took a deep breath and said, okay, universe, I see you. I know this is a lesson and thank you. I also wanted to pass this level, and it wasn't an easy one for me to pass because it forced me to say no multiple times, and I hate saying no to the people I love. So it was really that like Judge Judy being like, speak your truth and be clear. So I thought, okay, what is healthy for me right now? What is, you know, the right response that feels aligned, that's being true and being honest and being decisive? So I responded and said, I have some work to finish. I can chat for a quick 10, 15 minutes max, but I have to make it an early night and I got to get back to work. And so we did end up speaking briefly for, you know, like literally 15 minutes, and she was dealing with a challenging day. We talked about it. I love her and I always love talking to her. And she actually thanked me for putting boundaries in place. And she was like, I know how much you struggle with this and I'm proud of you. And it also helps me to stay home and process some things when, you know, she can struggle with that. So after the call, you know, went back to work, ended up getting my stuff done, going to bed early. And that is that Queen of Swords energy. Speaking your truth clearly and swiftly. And in this Aquarian star period, doing it with as much kind of non-attachment to outcomes as possible. Because at the end of the day, if you're expressing your genuine needs and someone doesn't like you for that or doesn't want to hang out with you because of that, they're probably not on your frequency anyway. I actually love this card and that empowered, swift throat chakra opening energy of the Queen. I think it's a great card for our week. So even if there are tests from the universe, the Queen of Swords has your back. And with that, I am so excited to bring on someone who shares her truth and her light with the world through her healing work and her podcast, Zoe Greco, aka the Merhipsy. She's an intuitive empath, spiritual coach who works and connects individuals to divine guidance and unconditional love. She's also the creator of the Mystic Rebel podcast and the Mystic Rebel Oracle deck. Hey Zoe, how are you?
I am well. How are you?
Great. It's funny. I know we've been trying to schedule this for a while now, so I'm glad that our schedule is finally synced up, because I'm such a fan of the Merhipsy and everything that you do. So I'm glad that we're able to finally jump on the podcast together today.
Me too. I know we've been kind of talking about this for years, and I have the way that you came into my life is so random and unique. And I'm not even sure if you know this, but
I was going to say, I got introduced to your work through the Wonderlust Girls through Emily and Abigail. So I just assumed the same of you. Okay, cool.
Exactly. I actually did like a private shopping trip with them in Nashville. And that was pretty much right after I launched my podcast and everything. And they were like, oh my God, have you ever heard of Cardi B? You'll love her. She's the best. And ever since then, I've been a huge fan. So it was such like a little divine intervention, a little divine meeting. And I'm just so excited that we finally have a chance to connect.
Oh my gosh. Likewise. Yeah. I assume that was how that you had heard of me as well. But you never know, but they're so lovely. And I mean, I love everything they do with their fashion blog and their styling.
Oh, yeah. So. Such talented women.
Yeah, and they're just such amazing souls. So they always bring really good people into my life. So I'm grateful for this connection.
Likewise.
So I wanted to kind of just like start off by diving right in there. And one of the things that I talk about a lot with my guests or with people that even write into the podcast is kind of almost like their spiritual coming out story of coming out of the spiritual closet. How did you discover that? Because I feel like a lot of us discovered this, even if we had gifts as children, discovered that this is what we were going to do as our work, as our career later in life. So how did you first kind of come into your intuitive gifts and your healing gifts?
Such a good question. I would say that I have kind of a unique experience compared to a lot of the people that I work with or that I guide or take through my mentorships, because I never really had like a coming out moment per se, or a rediscovering of myself. I luckily grew up in a situation where even if my experiences or my abilities weren't necessarily like understood, they were not like disrespected or squashed or kind of like, I don't really know the word for this, but like no one tried to take it away from me. It was almost like, oh, you're talking to ghosts up in the attic? Okay, cool. Like what'd they say? You know, it was almost like, yeah. I think it was more seen like my imagination. And then I got kind of older and older and older, and they were like, okay, whoa, like this is not a phase. This is kind of just who she is. And from really early in life, I would say from the time that I had speech, I was talking about past lives and writing my soul contract and picking my mother. And my mom's just, you know, trying to give me a bath. And she's like, what the heck? Like, this is some deep stuff. And I also, from a really early age, would talk about recent past lives as well as like long ago past lives from many moons ago. So at the age of like probably 2 to 3, I was already talking about being left by my husband with all of our kids for him to go out with his friends and get tattoos and all these different things. And so my parents were like, okay, this kid doesn't even watch television. Like, where the heck is this coming from? And over time they realized that this was channeling. And you know, as I got older, I began to channel other people and other experiences, and people around me thought I was just a really good writer or really imaginative. And it was kind of more like private. My family knew that I was intuitive. I knew that I was intuitive. I knew at home I was, you know, working with angel cards, and my mom was taking me to, you know, psychic fairs and working with all sorts of different practitioners. And for me, it was normal. But I wouldn't say that it's something I hid. It's just something that didn't really come up in conversation. It wasn't as mainstream as it is now. And I also was like a normal kid. I wasn't just like a freaky psychic kid, you know? I was also a normal child, a normal teen. And I would say in college is where it really started to kind of rear its head. So I had always been using cards and, you know, experiencing intuitive work and being an intuitive. But in college, I really started to have people be like, oh, what's that? Like, can you do that for me? And then all of a sudden, before I knew it, people from, you know, in my whole dorm were like knocking on my door being like, hey, I heard you do this thing. Like, I heard you talk to this girl's dead grandpa. Like, can you do that for me? And I was like, yeah, I guess so, sure. And that's when it started to be something that I did for other people. But it also started to kind of really take hold of me during that time. And I felt like I didn't have a lot of control over my abilities and, you know, when people would kind of want to channel through me, especially those who had passed on. And so that was a really important time for me of like self-discovery and setting some boundaries and parameters on my gifts and trying to kind of curb it for myself a little bit. But I still, even at that point, was not planning to make a career out of it. You know, was in college. I had a plan to move forward into some sort of like philanthropic work, whether it was journalism or social work. I hadn't really decided, but I was really very passionate about social justice. And so I was trying to kind of assess where I wanted to go with that. And then by the time that I was graduating, I thought, you know, maybe I do want to devote myself to the healing arts. And so I moved out to Arizona to study and do some post-grad work in the healing arts. And within a year and a half, I was teaching at the college that I came out here to attend, teaching business development for spiritual practices. Oh, wow. And the rest is kind of history.
That is so cool. I didn't know that part of your backstory. That is so cool. Oh my God.
Yeah, I was a 24-year-old college professor at a healing arts college in Arizona teaching business development for people who wanted to have spiritually based businesses.
Well, that is incredible. Congratulations on that, which is awesome because that was one of the other aspects I wanted to talk to you about. Because there are so many people that I'm sure that follow your podcast as well, Mystic Rebel, and that follow Badass Bitches Tarot, that they're kind of coming into their spiritual gifts, or like you, they've always had it, but didn't, you know, necessarily think that it could be a career path. And they're beginning to start, whether it's YouTube channels, podcasts, or just offering their healing services in exchange for, you know, financial payment. And what is some advice you would give to people, especially because I didn't even realize that you had taught that course so young. What advice would you give to people that are kind of coming into that work?
Yeah, I would love to answer that question. I have to say really quickly that I believed I wanted to be a healer, and little did I know that I actually wanted to be an entrepreneur. So I fell in love with being an entrepreneur through my journey of being a healer. And I am actually extremely passionate about this idea that healing work is the work and it is extremely valuable. And, you know, throughout the years, I've had people accuse me of being, you know, money seeking or greedy or whatever, because people don't believe that, you know, you should pay for a reading or you should pay for energy healing, which I think is so interesting because you wouldn't ask any other, you know, service provider to do their work for free. And this is really powerful stuff. Like, I believe that it's the most valuable thing on the planet. And so I always encourage people to, you know, seek compensation and energetic exchange for their work. But, you know, my journey started by just one little office that I couldn't afford at the time. No windows in a building with some other practitioners. I did kind of surround myself with, you know, a naturopath and a herbalist and a yoga teacher. We were all kind of sharing a building. And within my first couple months, my business was just profitable. Like, it just kind of grew. And I really, really attribute that to two different things. One is that I did begin my career by making my work pretty financially accessible to people. So everyone's first session was 50% off. And at the time, my prices were significantly less than they are now. And then I also spent a lot of time building my reputation. I really worked on my professionalism. Even I was so young when I started my business, and I looked even younger. I was probably like 23 and I looked like I was 13 because I just have that type of face. So people would come into my office and they'd be like, oh my God, you're a child. And I was like, no, I swear I'm an adult. Like, trust me, I got this. I can take care of you. But because I had really worked hard on my professionalism and my reputation building, to this day, I've actually never had to pay for marketing my services ever. The only thing I've ever paid for marketing for are my decks, because when you're self-published, that's what you have to do. You've got to, like, you know, run ads. But for my work, really, like, I let the experience speak for itself. And I started by making it financially accessible. And then over time, as my experience grew, and I believe my skill level grew, my prices then grew to reflect that. And as my prices grew, I also noticed that I was seeing a really big shift in the type of clientele that I was receiving. So I got less of like the, how can I voodoo this guy into loving me? And I got more of the like, what's my soul purpose? Like, how can I really act upon my soul contracts that I've written for this lifetime? Or, you know, how can I shift my reality? Or how can I work with my ego, which is really the work that I wanted to be doing? So it is a journey and it is a process. But like I said, I was profitable within the first 2 months. And that's actually why I got invited back to that school to teach. I had left my position there. I'm helping them develop curriculum. And within a couple months, they noticed that I was really kind of crushing it. And they're like, can you come teach people how to do that? And so I'm married to an entrepreneur. We both work from home and we're together all the time. And he's my ads manager. He owns a couple software companies and an ads agency. And we just love what we do. And, you know, it's so exciting to be able to serve people and be really kind of powerfully, energetically, and financially compensated for that so that I can continue to create more and do more.
I love that. And that is such an inspiring story. I think it's so interesting because I was the flip side of that was I thought that I was, you know, wanted to be an entrepreneur. And the truth is like my soul, I want to be a healer, but I had had my own lingerie line. I came from fashion. So I had my own lingerie line and had businesses before, but I didn't have this level of kind of like payback intrinsically until I started doing intuitive counseling and tarot as a business. And it's also, I'm sure you probably feel this way too. It helped me to be able to receive for it because I was very quick in my past life in fashion to be like, take these samples, never mind, I've got it. And now I have even some of my best friends that I do readings for that pay me and I'm like, thank you, because I do know what like intense energetic work it is and what, as much as I love it, it is some, you know, it is taking some of my energy to be able to provide that healing. So I've gotten much better at receiving as a result. And it's kind of made me a better entrepreneur by doing the healing work, which is kind of like the flip side, but mirroring what you're saying.
Oh, absolutely. And I think like in this industry, at least I don't want to speak for everybody, but in my journey, like one divine assignment has kind of inspired the next. So right. For instance, like being a coach and doing readings for others inspired the divine assignment to create my own decks, which then inspired the divine assignment to create a podcast, which, you know, it's like everything kind of feeds each other. And the cool thing about being a financially stable practitioner is that I have so much freedom to be like, okay, well, this month I'm going to take the month off and host a mentorship, or this month I'm going to, you know, go on tour with my sound healing band, or like, you know, I have so much freedom to do more healing and create more and make. And so like, I just feel like spirit is feeding me so I can continue to feed the people with the medicine. Like I'm using it always to constantly make more medicine. So, you know, I've created several different courses and I'm in the process of creating my own energy healing modality. Like I just believe that spirit loves to give good people bountiful blessings of abundance so they can use it to take care of others. And that's what I tell my clients all the time is like, don't be afraid. Spirit wants to trust you with financial abundance so that you can bless other people and live a fulfilling life. Like it's not just about service. It's about like serving yourself and enjoying your life. Like I really believe in that. And I believe in having really healthy, open conversations about money. Like I talk to people about what I earn literally all the time, because I want people to know that one, you can be financially abundant as hell doing this work. And also it can really change people's lives. Like I believe that the abundance I receive is equivalent to the freedom and the transformation that we give others. And it sounds kind of cocky when I talk about it, but I really want other people to be able to step into this power. And so I want it to sound as appealing as it really is.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm so grateful for you Voicing that, for sharing that perspective and sharing that experience, because I think that I've come across a lot of people kind of in the metaphysical and healing space that really do have that block of like,
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, if you're in that healing work, then it has to be a struggle, then it has to be like quote unquote selfless in that way. And I everything you've said, I'm like, thank you for saying that. And you say it so beautifully. You know, in creating beautiful lives for ourselves as healers, we're able to then expand that to the world. And you know, and one, yes, show people it's possible, but two, through our healing, like I know that because I have a beautiful apartment in the middle of Manhattan, I'm a better healer. You know, like I love my space. The space recharges me. I like every day I give so much gratitude to my apartment, my dog, my home, and I do better work than if I were struggling, you know?
Oh, 100%. And also like, I think you just really ignited me, because there is this collective story that healing is, like you said, selfless, and it's like servitude. And I really, really, really want people, not even people that are receiving, but people that are giving, to value their work at what it truly deserves to be valued at. Like, I have so many friends who have huge online followings, huge. They are, you know, constantly doing readings and supporting and, you know, sharing their podcasts and all these things, and they make almost nothing. And I'm like, guys, I have 11,000 followers and I'm out earning you by 20 times. Like,
right.
I want to help you learn how to take care of yourself and fill your cup so that you can feel as good as you're making other people feel.
Yes, yes, absolutely. You know, I worked with a plant medicine shaman in Costa Rica, and she was saying in the beginning of her journey, she used to not charge. And she would say, I really enjoy doing this work. And I think a lot of us have that like healer's high.
Exactly.
I'm like, I just love to do the work, which is very, I mean, I'm sure you do, I do. But she said that she also realized that people were not showing up as much if they didn't pay something. And she was like, even if there was someone who she's like couldn't afford, you know, could barely afford the ceremony, and I would say, what can you offer? And she's like, sometimes it was they were cleaning the buckets after. Sometimes they were like, you know, contributing a trade that they had, exchanging something. And she was like, but they had to show up with that level of energetic exchange, or they weren't taking away as much from the healing. And I have learned that in like when, you know, doing events in the past, when it was free and it was paid for by the brand or you know, the corporate. That the people showing up, it's like you're saying, that are like, can I put this hex on my ex-boyfriend? Like, they're not as committed to the work because they're not putting forth an energetic exchange in the healing process.
100%. Like, I really believe that, because, you know, my sessions currently are as high as 225 for 45 minutes, that people really question their own motivations for session before they book. They're like, is my question worth this amount of money? And if the answer is yes, then we have an amazing experience. And if the answer is no, then I think they have a moment of self-reflection, like, do I want to pay $225 to learn how to hex my ex? Like, probably not, you know? And I think that that really offers like a powerful moment of introspection. Yeah. And I think it's just such an amazing thing. And I can't tell you how many clients I have on the daily. And if people are listeners of the podcast, you guys know that you hear this all the time. I work with people who are trapped in the rat race or the corporate world or the this or the that, who don't love it. That's an amazing place to be if that's where you want to be. But if it's not where you want to be and you're only there for the money, guess what? The money's not going to flow as easily, because money is a reflection. I believe that money reflects to us the energy that we put out toward it. And so if we're desperate for money, money's going to go, oh, this person's desperate for me. I have to remain out of reach to maintain this vibration of desperation. So if we're just doing something for the money, same thing with intuitive work. Like, if we're just doing something for the money's not going to flow. It has to be that we enjoy it, that we love it, because what we love loves us back.
I love that so much. Thank you. I'm so grateful. I mean, I've wanted to talk to you, like I said, for years now, but I'm so grateful to have you on, because I think this is such an important message. And I've been trying to find myself more expanders that really are creating that in the world to be like, there are more of us fabulous witches out there, you know?
Hell yeah. And you know, I love that you said that, because I remember growing up, Doreen Virtue was like my expander. I saw her and, you know, she had all these decks and all these books. And I just believed that that was only for like a select few. I just believed that that wasn't possible. And a couple months ago, someone went into House of Intuition in LA and they took a picture of my decks next to her decks on a shelf. And I just thought, like, holy shit, like what a fun moment to see myself next to my expander. And the truth is, all I did was email House of Intuition and say like, hey, do you want my decks? And they were like, we'll take a few. Like, that's all that happened, right? Like, it wasn't like this huge big deal, but it brought this vision to life for me. And it kind of, you know, places me energetically among my peers. And so even though I think Doreen Virtue's taken a real dip into crazy town, no offense meant, I still love and honor and respect all the work that she did and the, you know, the way that she paved for all of us. Yes. Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I do still respect the work that she's put out and put forward. And I'm really excited to see, you know, my work next to hers and other greats and most especially other indie creators. Like, I love that indie creators are really coming to the forefront. I love having good combos with other indie creators.
I love that. Wow. Absolutely. And so in addition, like back on the Oracle deck path, in addition to doing your readings and the podcast, so in what order did that kind of come about? So it was your intuitive readings, obviously, first that you were providing as a service in your business. And then you decided to create the deck, or was the podcast after that?
It was actually the decks first. I spent 2 years in creative mode and in very Zoe fashion, very classic Zoe. I was like, I'm going to make two at the same time. Like, I have no idea why I thought that was a good idea. Like, I literally, like, looking back, I'm like, you crazy? Like, what were you thinking? But Spirit said, like, here are two. Like, they gave me visions for two. And so I said, yes. I really believe when Spirit offers us an invitation, we say yes. And so I spent 2 years channeling, and I had a lot of, you know, moments of block and self-doubt. And I probably texted my friends and my family like 700 times being like, I'm not going to make them. Okay. It's not going to happen. Like, it was a journey. It was a powerful, powerful journey. And I found two incredible artists who, you know, each deck has its own aesthetic. Like, one is all digital collage work and one is watercolor. One is, you know, a classic oracle deck and one is a crystal oracle deck. Like, they definitely have their own personalities. I would consider them not even sisters, but like cousins. Like, they're somehow related, but not closely. I think they love and respect each other. They definitely, you know, recognize the other as, you know, a powerful bitch, but I definitely, you know, dove into that for 2 years. And then once those were out in the world, you know, my assignment was complete. I'd done my work and Spirit said, okay, here's what's next. And I literally just woke up one day and I was like, oh, I think I'm going to start a podcast where I share client sessions, because the number one question I got asked was, what is spiritual coaching? Like, what is it? What does it look like? And people would come into session with maybe like a little bit of like a skewed expectation of what they were going to be experiencing. And so I just thought, you know, first of all, I'm repeating messages to people a lot, because we only, you know, we all fit into, you know, one of a certain archetype. And we are, our issues and our journeys reflect each other in certain ways. And I just thought, like, how many people could truly benefit from a single person's session? Like, probably a lot. And so I dove into that as well. And something I think worth mentioning is that both of those things, creating a deck and creating a podcast, felt so completely out of reach at one point. Mm-hmm. Like, I had no clue how to do those things. I had no idea where to start, no idea what I was doing. And I couldn't, to be honest, I couldn't find a single person to help me out. Like, people who did have decks were very private about it. They were very like in the mindset of competition.
Oh my gosh, same. Yes, mine came out not this past October, but in 2018. And I had that too. And I was like, well, I guess I'm just figuring this out.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And it was kind of like, you know, the energy that's being put out, and maybe you experience this as well, when I would reach out to creators and be like, hey, can you just tell me like where you printed this? Yeah. Like, that's all I want to know. It's like that kind of shutdown made me feel really unwelcome. And it made me feel like, oh wow, like maybe there's not enough room for me. Like, if these people are so desperate to have, you know, these secrets and keep this to their heart, like maybe there's not enough room for me. And I think personally, I needed to learn that I could do it by myself. I think that was just something I had to go through. But whenever people email me and say, where did you print your cards? How did you do this? Like, I am the first person to be like, let me connect you to my printer. Let me tell you about the process. Let me tell you how much it costs dollar for dollar. Like, let's go into it.
Yes. Same for me. Cause I started off printing smaller scale in the US and now I print overseas, and same, anytime anyone even mentions it, I'm like, let me connect you. Here's the website. Here's the breakdown. I wish we had known each other then, but I feel like
me too. Actually our decks came out around the same time. So we probably would have just been like winging it together. Been like, yo, did you find a printer yet? Like I can't fucking find any, but like, probably would have seriously been exactly like that.
Oh my gosh. And it's crazy because I sell to House of Intuition and I had that moment too. So it's the fact, I get why Emily and Abigail introduced us, because our paths are very similar.
Very parallel. I love it.
Yes. We're almost towards the end of the half hour, which is crazy to me because I could talk to you literally.
I know.
I'm going to have you back on a more specific topic next time. But I'm so glad that we were really able to dive into the spiritual entrepreneurship side, because that's something that I do find is quite polarizing in kind of our industry in this niche. And that's, you just spoke about it so beautifully and eloquently. But before we do head out, I wanted to ask you, because I ask everybody this, it's kind of how I close my podcast, because it is, you know, rooted in tarot originally. Do you have a favorite tarot card? And I'm also going to ask if you have a favorite oracle card in your decks.
So I'm actually not super well versed in the tarot. However, like, I grew up on oracle cards. However, right. I would say that I really respect the death card. I think that people get freaked out by it, but I think that death and rebirth is a integral part of our life experience, and I'm happy to die and be reborn every day. So I honor and accept the message of that card, and I face it with courage rather than fear.
That's so beautiful. And I like that card too. It's ruled by Scorpio and the deck I created, which is all badass bitches. It's Louise Hay. Cause I think that she, for many, many reasons, just like exemplified transformation and evolution. And even when passed away 2 years ago, in her obituary, it said that she transitioned versus, you know, died or passed. So I'm like, she is the ultimate, like, beautiful goddess of the death card. I love that answer. That's beautiful. So what about your two oracle decks? Do you have a favorite card, or is that hard for you to pick because it's like your children?
That is a little tough, but I would say in the oracle deck, I would pick the new love card because it features a picture of me and my husband when we got engaged. It's from like the moment we got engaged. So that's like close to my heart, but I do have a bunch of my friends featured in that deck. And I think all of those cards with their beautiful faces are some of my favorites. And then in the crystal deck, that's really tough. But I feel like the one that's sticking out to me right now is turquoise. And I think it's because turquoise really gets to like, kind of gets in your face and it's like, yo, are you overreacting? Are you being a little too salty? And as an Aries, I feel like I constantly need to ask myself that question. And so turquoise is always there and it's got my back. And plus I live in Arizona. Here in the Southwest, we rock some sick ass turquoise. So I would say probably turquoise is up there for me, even though artistically it may not be my favorite in the deck. The meaning really, really hits home.
Ah, amazing. Well, thank you so much, Zoe. I'm going to link back to, obviously your website, to the Mystic Rebel podcast, and your Instagram. Is there anything else you want us to know before we head out? Is there any new projects coming out or anything else I should add?
Ooh, good question. I'm currently in the process of leading my second mentorship circle for intuitive development, and those are going to be popping up every couple months. So if anyone's interested in going through my training for intuitive development, it's a 30-day mind hacking protocol. So we use the principles of mind hacking married with the principles of energy and universal law to help kind of quiet and soften ego so we can overcome ego and step into our power. And that happens, like I said, every couple months. So I'm super excited to lead my next one. And we have a sound healing training here in Phoenix in July. So those two things are things you can learn more about and sign up for. And those are probably my passion projects at the moment. So I'm always excited to share about those. So thank you for allowing me the space to talk about them.
Amazing. Oh, those both sound incredible and very exciting. So thank you so much. I'm sure a lot of people are going to be wanting to sign up if there's still space. So thank you for sharing that with us. And again, just thank you for being able, I know you're super busy. Thank you for being able to join us today.
It's my honor, my pleasure. I'm so excited. And I'm really looking forward to having you on the podcast. So thank you. And I'm looking forward to our next opportunity to chat.
I am so grateful that Zoe was able to join us on the podcast today. She is such a powerful, badass healer and entrepreneur, and I'm so grateful for her work across the board. So before we head out, to quickly recap, February is bringing us that Aquarius ruled star card, which offers us rewards and inspiration after a period of patience. So if Capricorn season was rough for you, this card has your back. Also, this month has King of Pentacles. I love this card, that grounded earth king of abundance and confidence, bringing in treats for us in February as well. And this week we pulled Queen of Swords, aka the Judge Judy card, reminding us to speak up, speak our truth with clarity and decisiveness. Just a reminder that Instagram Lives are still Monday nights at 7:30 Eastern time. If you haven't tuned in, these are a great opportunity to ask your own questions and get a free live mini reading. You can also send questions through in advance, and if you're not able to attend at that time, you can watch the live for 24 hours afterward. I am also starting to add more video content on Instagram TV. You may have noticed, if you have any questions astrologically, tarot related, obviously, that you would love me to address in there, just DM me or hit me up on badassbitchestarot.com. Same for the Ask Cardzy B segment, the podcast that I do once a month with all of your questions. So that episode is coming up next. So any questions you have that you would love to have answered, again, at Cardzy B or through badassbitchestarot.com. I also have some fun new events coming the end of February and some things coming up for International Women's Day in March. So stay tuned for that. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, stay magical AF.